We have a couple special things still to come. Art is here this morning. Art represents the local Gideon's chapter. We've always supported the local Gideon's chapter. We want to give Art an opportunity to share the vision, the mission that God's given him, that he carries. I'm going to share for just a few minutes, if time allows, about harvest today. I love it, Art, because we tie in together. We're all about reaching the lost. Will you welcome Art as he comes this morning? Come on up, Brother Art.
You want a podium? If I could have a music stand. It would be better. Well, good morning. I tell you what, you folks are so blessed in this church. The leadership that started this church and the team that's taking it over. And it's an honor to be here today. Almost to the point, I hate to do this, but, you know, we're in this race together. We're in this race together. The number one goal of the Gideons is just to win men and women, boys and girls, to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's number one. Well, everybody thinks that the Gideons are the men that put the Bibles in the hotels, and that's all we do. That's not true. Our number one goal is witnessing to the lost and winning the lost for Christ. And we are so blessed, and thank you for the support of this church. I think this is probably the fifth year that I have been here, and it is such a blessing. It is such a blessing to be here. But I want to share a testimony this morning about a young man that was in very critical condition, and his words were, "I don't want to die and go to hell." And that's what the critical care patient told this Gideon. And one evening, the Gideon was in the hospital, and he was passing out testaments, and the nurses asked him, "There's a young man in the critical care unit, and we would like for you to go minister to him." So he went to the critical care unit, and he ran into a young man there. And Randy was 39 years old. He had many, many serious health problems. As a matter of fact, Randy could not even turn himself into bed. He was so bad. And it was really bad for him. Earlier that day, the doctors had talked to Randy and asked him if he would agree to a do not resuscitate order. And his mother came in and talked to him and told him that she really wanted him to do that. That's how bad it was. But Randy could not understand why his mother was willing to give up on him. Well, the Gideon came into that room, and for the next 2.5 hours, he cried and prayed and cried and prayed with this young man. And the young man told him that, you know, "I've done some things in my life that I'm not proud of. I didn't kill anybody or do anything like that. But he says, I am so ashamed that I didn't make more of my life." And he says, "And it's too late for me now." Well, the Gideon told him that, no, Randy, it's never too late. And he encouraged Randy and shared the gospel with him. And the one thing that really stuck with him was the fact that Romans 10:13 really got his attention. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And after that, Randy began asking questions. Randy prayed and asked God to forgive him and save him. And that day, Randy accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Well, Randy was now in God's hands. And the Gideon assured him that he was going to be all right one way or the other. He explained, "God is either going to heal you and leave you here, or he's going to give you the ultimate healing, and he's going to take you home to be with him." Well, that's what happened. He left him there. and he healed him. But for the next few nights, it was difficult for that Gideon to sleep. He found himself wondering, I wonder how many people are out there that are just like this young man. They go to church, and because they go to church, they think that's all you got to do. Folks, it's more to it than that. You've got to search your heart and ask God to come into your heart. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and to change you and to forgive you for your sins and to make you a new creation in Christ. And I'm so thankful for this church. And I stand with y'all because I know mighty and wonderful things are going to happen here. Well, last year the Gideons distributed over 90 million copies of the Bible around the world. And here in our local area, the Frisco camp distributed about 16,000 copies in Frisco, Little Elm, Prosper, Salina, and also the west part of McKinney. And folks, we did that, passing them out one at a time. And I've been a Gideon long enough that I remember the days when we could actually go into the classroom of the fifth graders and present them with that little red testament. And folks, this is the only little testament that Gideon's International puts out that does not have the plan of salvation in the back. And it had something to do with the ACLU and first one thing and another, and so they decided not to print it in the back of this. But in the back of every one of the other testaments and Bibles, there is God's plan of salvation, step by step by step. And God uses that every day. We have books and books of testimonies of people that have gone into hotels, number one, to commit suicide, to take their life because their life had fallen apart. They were either druggies or their marriages had fallen apart. They had lost everything and didn't know where to turn. And it's amazing, that Bible being in that room. They're drawn to that Bible, and they open that drawer, and they take it out, and they begin to read God's Word. And folks, we have books and books of testimonies about how God has used that. People have gone in to take their life. Yeah, they lost their life, but they came back a new person because they surrendered their heart to Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to cut this short today. I'll tell you who the Gideons are. Gideons are men who believe the Bible as the inspired word of God. Folks, we believe that every word that's written between the covers of this book are God's holy word. There are no mistakes, there are no errors, and we sign a pledge to that effect. Gideons are men that believe in Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God, but we must be born again. And folks, you're looking at a man in church all his life, working his way to heaven, 49 years old. In March the 14th, 1983, I surrendered my life to Christ and became a Gideon the next year. I've been a Gideon since 1984. And it's been a burning desire in my heart to give out the Word of God because I know the power that's in that book. When I came in here today, I've had problems with vertigo, and I've had a stroke March the 8th, and God has been so gracious to me. But I woke up this morning, and I made a mistake of taking one of the pills for vertigo, and it really rocked my boat today. I came in here, and my head was swirling, and Pastor Tim says, well, if you really don't feel up to it, we'll reschedule for next week. And I says, no, God's going to take me through. We're going to do this today. So I am so thankful. But, you know, this all started in 1908 when we began placing Bibles. The first 25 Bibles were placed in the Superior Hotel, Superior, Montana. And folks, After that placement, it took us 20 years to place the first 1,000,000 copies. Well, in 2001, September the 10th, the Gideons went to the White House and presented a dignitary Bible to President George W. Bush, signifying the 1,000,000,000th copy that had been distributed. And it took 93 years to get to that point. In April of 2015, the second 1,000,000,000 was reached. And we praise God for that, that God is still allowing us to be his errand boys and to pass out his word to a lost and dying world. Because, folks, it is a lost and dying world. We have been so blessed that we are giving out 1,000,000 copies every 4.3 days. That's amazing. And it's amazing. And we could not do it by ourselves because we don't have enough. The Gideons ourselves don't have enough money. So it was decided early on that the churches would help raise the money to buy the Bibles to help the Gideons distribute them. And so we continue that today. And it has been such a blessing. It has been such a blessing. But I want to share one testimony and then I'm going to shut up. We had at one of our pastor's appreciation banquets in Jonesboro, Arkansas, we had a gentleman that worked for Walmart. He drove a truck, and his name was W.R. Buckaloo. W.R. Buckaloo was a truck driver, and folks, he was an alcoholic, really bad. For 18 years, his precious wife prayed for that man, and he rejected those prayers, and he went on driving his truck and drinking, and he was drunk every day. He was drunk every day. But it was October the 24th, 1972, in Dallas, Texas. He checked into a motel, the Circle Inn Airport, and it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and like I say, he was drunk already. Got out of his truck. He took his six-pack of beer, and he took his shaving kit in with him and put it down on the counter, unzipped the shaving kit, and staring him right in the face was a little red testament like this one. W.R. Buckaloo had a 13-year-old daughter, and when she was in the fifth grade, she was given that little red testament by the Gideons, and she loved her dad so that she wrote in the front of that little book, "Dear Dad, turn to the back pages, because I have written God's plan of salvation for you, page, verse, and everything." Well, W.R. sat down on the bed, and he went to the back, and he started reading those scriptures. And he found that there was a God out there that loved him and wanted only the best for him. And that afternoon, that big burly alcoholic fell to his knees and asked God to come into his heart and save his soul. But you know, that's just the beginning of the story. Because, you know, his daughter told him, and she wrote him a note in the back of the book, and she says, "Dad, now that you've read God's plan of salvation for you, I hope and pray that you will come to know Jesus Christ, because nobody would love you, nobody, except Jesus, not even me." And it was just amazing, because his daughter loved her daddy so much that she wanted to see him come to the Lord. Well, he did come to the Lord that day. He went home a changed man. Went to church the next day, Little Baptist Church, when it was time for the invitation to be given. Who comes down the aisle but W.R. Buckaloo? And the people almost fainted because they knew his reputation. But God was so gracious to W.R. Buckaloo, not only did he save him, but immediately he took away the desire for alcohol. He cleaned him up. He cleaned him up right away. And the amazing part of this whole story is that because of that one little red testament, given to that young lady in that fifth grade who loved her daddy so much that she wrote God's plan of salvation in the back, and her daddy came to the Lord. And 40 more members of the Buckaloo family came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what makes it all worthwhile. And we have what is called the Gideon Card Program, and I know you used to have a rack here and all of your renovation and everything. It's gotten put someplace, but I hope you'll find it and get it out again, because this is an alternative to give Bibles in lieu of buying flowers. And I'm not against that. Heaven forbid. I lost my dad in 1986, and he lived in Florida, and it was August, and we were standing at his burial. And folks, there were just flowers everywhere, hundreds of dollars worth of flowers. And it was 95 degrees, and you could see them wilting and drooping. And I thought, oh my God, what a waste. How many Bibles and Testaments would those flowers have bought? So since then, and we found out about this program even before we became Christians. And it was the worst Gideon presentation I've ever heard in my life. But Gideon said one thing that day. He talked about this program, the in-memory cards in lieu of flowers. And it stuck. And on the way home from church that day, it was 1970, my wife and I made the decision that we would no longer buy flowers and we would buy God's Word in memory of a loved one. Lost my dad, lost my mom, lost my older brother, lost my younger brother. And October the 30th, 2010, I lost my precious wife of 53 and a half years. This month is coming up 8 years. Well, my wife was a sweet lady, full of the Word of God, had all of the gifts. I mean, she was powerful. God used her with so many people. Amazing, amazing. She prayed for me for 9 years, because she came to the Lord 9 years before I did. And I'm so thankful. But when she passed away, the last 30 days we had her at home, and she was confined to the bed because the cancer had spread to her spine, and she couldn't get out of bed. So the two of us were there one afternoon, and I took the time and I said, babe, you know what's coming. And I said, I want to do everything that you want me to do to make your going away a gift to everyone else. You've ministered for all these years. She told me that day the music that she would like. She would like the pastor to share the gospel with the congregation. And the whole nine yards just laid it out to me. And her last words were, and Art, if you want to cremate me, that's okay. That's okay. And I did. And I have her with me at my home today. And I have instructed my daughter that when my time comes, I want you to take your mom and take my ashes and take us to the coast of South Carolina where we met. And my kids, as part of my birthday present for 84th birthday, said, we're going to take you to Charleston when you and Mama met for a long weekend. And I'm getting ready. I'm flying out on the 22nd of October. And I just praise God. But when we were planning the everything, and we put in the newspaper with the obituary that in lieu of flowers, give money to the hospice group, number one, and number two, we would request no flowers, and in lieu of flowers that you give money for in memory Bibles or give money to hospice. And folks, our friends and family, and just, it was amazing. 1,218 in memory Bibles were given in her memory. Each one of those Bibles has a potential of reaching 2,300 people. You multiply and do the math, and it's over 2 million people that would be reached as a result of her death. She was a mighty witness of the Lord. It was amazing in her last days. People would come to visit her, and they were coming in to minister to her. And guess who got ministered to? They walked out on cloud nine. That's the kind of lady she was. But I thank you that this church has supported us, and we covet your prayers. We really do. Because, folks, it's getting harder, as your pastor knows. I hate to say this, but there are churches that have wonderful pastors and are teaching the word, and there are churches that have pastors that are not teaching the truth. And it's sad to say. And I'm so thankful that y'all have a pastor that teaches the truth and stands for the truth. And just be thankful. So I'm going to close. You know, Isaiah 55:10 talks about watering the rain and the snow coming down, watering the earth, making the soil sprout, and giving bread to the eater and food to the everything. I'm just shook right now. But it ends up by saying he sent his word. It would never return void, and it would always accomplish what he sent it to do. And that's what we stand on. I ask you today, if God's speaking to your heart, and you want to help support this ministry, you're not going to support me or Bob. You're going to buy Bibles. That's what you're going to do. We're one of very few ministries that every cent that you give is tax deductible, number two. And every cent you give goes to buy the copies of God's word and to ship it to the destination where it needs to go. The reason I can tell you that is that 100% of all of the overhead expense that Gideon's International cost to run comes from the dues that we pay annually. And there are very few ministries that can tell you that. So I hope and pray that you're willing to buy Bibles today. I'll be at the back with an open Bible. If you didn't come prepared today, in your bulletin today is one of our inserts, and there's an envelope in there. And you can put your check in it, make it out to Gideon's International, and mail it to us. And we'll buy those Bibles and place them out there in the pathways and highways for this lost and dying world. Thank you so much.
Jody, will you come up here with me for just a second? Will you just stretch your hand out? Let's put this down for a minute. We're not done yet.
Okay.
I know you're ready to go sit down, but will you stretch your hand out towards Art? I want to pray over Art. I want to bless him. I want to just allow the Holy Spirit to touch and minister him. Do you guys feel the weight on his shoulders of the mission and purpose that God's given him to carry? And so can we pray into that just a moment? And then Jody, whatever the Lord tell you. But I want to first pray, Lord, I just lay my hand right now on Art. And Lord, we all gather together, stretching our hands out. And Lord, I just lay my hand over his heart. What a beautiful heart you've given him to serve others, to carry this gospel to places that we can't, to places that you have not called all of us, but you've called Art. And Lord, right now I pray for healing. I pray for strength to this physical body. Lord, any dizziness that he's experiencing even right now, I pray into that, Lord. I pray that that would be removed from him immediately. In Jesus' name, whether it's a complication of medication, maybe it's just an attack of the enemy to cause him to be distracted this morning, but Lord, your purpose has been laid forth, and I thank you for Art for standing strong in the midst of adversity and delivering this message. And Lord, we proclaim your word over art. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who carry this good news. And Lord, I just pray right now a blessing over art. I pray, Lord, that you would open doors for art. You would open doors for this chapter, for the Gideons, that would just blow our minds, blow us away. Allow the word to pierce into places where city officials said no, where school officials say no longer, where school boards say this is the new policy. But Lord, break into those hearts, those hard, stony hearts, we pray right now, that your Holy Spirit would begin softening them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray strength to Art as he carries this purpose you've laid upon his shoulders. And Art, I feel the Lord telling me to remind you, you know these words, that you're not finished yet. I know your heart longs for heaven. You ain't finished yet. He's going to give you the strength and the steps to complete that mission here on earth. Amen.
Thing I got was that, you know, that you have been given the burden, but remember, we haven't given the weight. Yep. There's a difference. One is a burden on your heart, the weight Jesus carries.
That's right.
And so as long as you keep that straight, then you'll be able to carry it. So I take that weight off of your shoulders, that it would not bear you down, that you would be light. And again, that vertigo, the dizziness, right now I command it to go in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It must leave.
Yes.
You go.
God is
now.
A good God.
He is.
When I came in here this morning and my head was just unreal, and I knew that God would take me through, and I prayed, God, let your healing power course through my body and clear my head. And folks, he did it.
Amen.
He did it.
Amen.
I thank you for your prayers.
Thank you, Art. Come on, let's thank Art for being here this morning. He'll be at the back as we dismiss in just a moment. I just want to give you some instruction. You know, we'll have the box in the back if you brought an offering ready to give. There'll be a box in the back. You can just place that offering, that tithe in. Art's going to be by the back door holding a Bible open. I encourage you to give. Come on, let's everybody do something this morning. Amen. And I'm going to share for just a minute before we dismiss. I know y'all running back. You got a party back there. I don't smell any brisket or barbecue. I'm just kidding. I want to share for just a minute. I know you guys are ready for the word. Amen. Anybody ready for the word? Let's do this. Everybody just stand up just a moment. Stretch out for a minute. I mean, I'm going to bring about an hour message, so just get comfortable. To think, hey, it's Pastor Appreciation Day. I feel the love, so let's just... All right, you may be seated for just a moment. I, in all seriousness, am going to share for just a few minutes. You know, I have felt, I wrote in my notes 4 weeks ago that I felt a new spirit blowing through the church. I've commented about this a lot to my dad, and we've talked about this. It's not a better spirit. It's not a worse spirit. It's just a new spirit of what God's doing. And I've been preaching some messages about new. I love that graphic you put up there. I could preach it again today if you want me to, but I just feel there's new roads and new rivers that God's doing. God is doing something new, and the question is, are we perceiving it? Man, what an awesome message Joshua shared. Weren't you blessed by his message? Josh, it's online. You need to go listen to it. If you still haven't listened to it, chapelprosper.com/media. What a powerful message, bro. Josh shared about the gap between the promise and the purpose. If I mess it up, correct me. Talked about a time of preparation. I had some other P's I added to my list you may not care for. Preparation, there's a planting involved, there's plowing involved, there's pruning involved, and there's promotion as well. What a powerful message, Josh. I had some other P words. One of them was perspiration. There's some sweating involved that has to be, I know it's not as good as yours, but I added a few more, but I'm going to leave them alone. The odds are against me this morning, so I'm not going to share all my silly jokes. And Jason did a wonderful job last week. I loved hearing him share about the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. What a beautiful message that was. I wrote in my notes last week to remember, to reflect, and to respond about what Jesus has done for us. Never forget what Jesus has done. Always be ready to share with those around you. Art, what a beautiful day for you to be here talking about reaching the lost. I want to share for just a few minutes about harvest. Everybody say harvest. Harvest. Biblical times, this is the most important time of the year. Everything in your life centered around the time and the season of harvest. Don't you love this cool weather we got? Man, the season's changing. I'm dusting off some other clothes that I have had hidden, right? Some jackets, some long sleeve shirts. It's a season of change. Harvest is gathering of things planted, reaping in joy, reaping in that which was sown and produced during that year. There are so many parallels, even in Jesus' teaching, about the physical time of harvest to a spiritual harvest in our lives. Matthew verse 9, turn with me in the Word. I want to read some Word this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, this is out in the New King James Version. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Boy, we could fast forward thousands of years and we could say the same thing about our culture. Amen? That's all right. You'll get with me in just a moment. Don't fall asleep yet. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Art, you'd give me a big high five for that, wouldn't you? The harvest is great. What great possibilities we have to share this gospel, this news of the kingdom of God with those around us. But where are the workers? Where are the laborers? Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Art, we stand with you. I want you to feel blessed today when you leave. And it ain't about how much money you raise. It's about us being inspired by your passion, Art, of taking on this call and purpose God's given you. Let us, Holy Spirit, stir every one of us this morning. Stir us to a place where we are moved with compassion. It's one thing to feel sorry for somebody. It's one thing to say, oh man, I'm so sorry for what you're going through. Oh man, that's horrible. It's another to be moved with compassion. Compassion is a word that says, I'm going to get down in that ditch with you. And I'm going to help any way I can. And I'm not going to leave until you leave with me. This is compassion. Compassion says, I'm moved to do something, not just omit, not just say, well, I'll pray for you, but let us be moved to compassion. It involves action. What harvest? What harvest is Jesus talking about? He's talking about those who are lost, weary, and scattered. Think right now. Holy Spirit, bring to mind right now of people who are in our circle who are lost, weary, and scattered. Do it right now, Holy Spirit. Bring us faces, bring us names, bring us conversations in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. I believe this challenge for us today, that Jesus is describing this harvest. See, what I believe is we read a little farther in this scripture, read a little farther about the ministry of Jesus, is that all of us have been given a field. I'm not talking about an acre behind your house that you can't keep mowed. I'm not talking about the 5 acres around here that we can't keep mowed. Come on now. I'm talking about all of us have been given a field. What field is this? What field? Who? The world. Yeah. Anybody else? What's your field? What's your field? Well, my field, I'm an IT technician. I'm not talking about that. What's your field? Why don't we start with our family? Why don't we move then to our friends? Why don't we then move to our co-workers? And then we can extend it out even further. Why don't we move to that guy you bought donuts from this morning? You stopped and got a coffee. What about the guy yesterday at the QT that you talked with? What about the cleaners, the lady at your cleaners? What about the lady at the shopping store, the Kohl's, and I'm not going to start naming stores. What about these? Each of us has been assigned a unique field of an assignment. Your field's different than mine. Why is that? Because you go different places than I do. You're around different people. It's 101 in sales. If I had a sales training going on, they always say use your circle of influence to do your pyramids. I mean, your sales. Sorry, I didn't mean that was a low cut. Shouldn't have done it. To do your sales, and always says start with those who are around. And why can't we do this with the gospel? Why do we think and omit that? Oh no, that's a biblical principle. Let's not apply that to the kingdom of God. It's founded from the kingdom of God. That all of us has been given an assignment into different people's lives. The question is, do you feel the responsibility? Are you accepting the responsibility? Hear the word of the Holy Spirit this morning. Put on that responsibility just like you're going to put on that winter coat tomorrow morning when it's 47 degrees. Let's carry that responsibility that Jesus has assigned to us in this kingdom of God with us everywhere we go. An Iowa corn farmer, hearing voices, interprets them as a command to build a baseball field out in the middle of nowhere. And so he does it. He spends all of his money, all of his time, all of his friends turns against him. Even his wife is going, are you okay? Do we really need to build a baseball field here? And what happens in this movie, in this fictional movie, is the 1919 Chicago White Sox come out of the corn stalks to play one last time. This beautiful movie called Field of Dreams. I've prepared a bunch of video clips, but y'all took too much time for Pastor Appreciation, so I'm not gonna. I'm just kidding. Go home and watch it. It's an awesome movie. Me and my dad love it. Just the other day, not knowing this, my dad showed it to my boys, and they sat there and watched it all. What a beautiful time of spending time together, this field of dreams. God has given us all dreams in our lives and dreams over our lives. Let's go through and categorize some of these dreams. Is it a dream to be successful? Has God given you a dream to be a business owner, to launch out and start a business? Has God given you the dream to be financially independent? You ain't got to worry about money no more. Has God given you this dream that you're going to have a beautiful wife and 2.5 kids and a perfect golden shepherd on the porch? Has God given you this dream? Is this the dream that God's given you in your life? The truth is God's given us all a dream, and it's a little different. But what happens is the world seems to creep in our dreams and distort our dreams a little bit. Back when we're young, we can dream, God, I'm going to do great things for you. And all of a sudden, instead of advancing the kingdom of God, the only thing we start caring about is advancing our careers, advancing our paychecks, advancing our influence here in this world. That we all carry a weight of being financially responsible. Don't get me wrong. Don't go quit your job tomorrow. Don't come calling me. How am I going to pay stuff? Because I'll say, you're on your own. You got to figure it out. That we all live in this real world. But I'm telling you, where is that God dream that he spoke over you to say that I'm going to do this in the kingdom of God, that I'm going to speak for Christ, I'm going to love like Christ, I'm going to make a difference in a world that is hurting, that is weary, and that is lost? Where is that God dream? The truth is, all of us have been given a field of dreams. We look out on our fields. There's God's dream for that field. There's God's dream that our spouses would love God. There's God's dream that our children would fulfill God's calling and purpose on their lives. It's God's dream that we wouldn't live life selfishly as the world does, but we would live generously in the kingdom of God, that we would meet needs instead of run away from needs. We can't do everything for everyone, but we can do something for someone. Do you have the responsibility for your field? Say it's overwhelming. There's too much to be done. I don't even know where to start. Why don't you just start doing something? How about that? Say, I don't even know where to start. Pick somewhere and just start. Start loving. Start doing. Start serving the God-given dream. The dreams that God gives are salvation, deliverance, healing, purpose, hope. We all can play a part in expanding this kingdom of God. The truth is, what happens is the enemy will force his way into our dreams and purposes, and instead of these seeds that God's given and being planted in fertile ground to grow, what happens is the enemy will start putting weeds into our lives, into our dreams. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was 1992, and it was a beautiful summer day, and we got a phone call. I said, "Hey, Diane." That's my mom. That's her first name. I don't know if you knew that. "Hey, Diane, why don't you bring those kids over to my pool and let them swim?" And I remember running to get in the car and go swim at this pool. And I remember taking the short drive over to Ann Brown's house and jumping out of her car saying, "Let's go swimming." In 1992, I was 12 years old. Do some math, figure out how old I am. And I remember before she let us swim, she gave us one responsibility. You know what that responsibility was? Don't call me that now, but back then my name was Timmy. Okay, don't call me that. She said, "Timmy and Joey," my older brother, and said, "before you can swim, you got to go and pull all those weeds out of my flower bed." And I looked, come on, am I serious? I ain't telling stories this morning. And I said, "excuse me, I didn't get that phone call. I got swimming trunks. We're ready to dive in. You know, I'm working on my flip, you know." No, I had to go pull some weeds. And I remember I don't even have a shirt on, had swimming trunks on. And my older brothers, you know, I got a lot of stories to say about him, but we'll leave that alone. And we're over there pulling weeds. And I'm like, "why don't you pull your own weeds? Why you got to come and get me?" You know what I'm saying? And I'm 12 years old. I mean, have some grace towards me. And I remember looking down the side of her house and saying, "this is going to take us all day. You know what's going to happen is mom's going to come back and she's going to say, okay, let's go. And we ain't even done pulling weeds." And we were out there pulling weeds for at least a good hour. I'm not kidding. Like, I'm already sunburned. I ain't even gotten the water yet, you know, I'm pulling weeds. And I felt this weight of the Lord as I was preparing this message, reading some of these scriptures, feeling the weight of the Lord of saying, "Tim, how come you don't love pulling weeds?" And I said, "look, come on, Diana Clay, you hear me?" I said, "there's a lot of reasons why I don't love pulling weeds. You know what the Lord told me? It says, when you are uncomfortable pulling weeds, you give way to the enemy to run rampant in your heart." And I said, "all right, time out. I'm going to start pulling some weeds." Pulling weeds is no fun. It's a lot of work. Pulling weeds, I mean, they sell all kind of new inventions that you can pull. You know what's best? Is you get on your hands and your knees and you pull those weeds by hand. That's the best way to weed. You can spray all you want. Come on now, it still looks kind of weird. You got to get down there and pull those weeds. And what we do is we pull out what the enemy is trying to sow. And so what we need to do is we need to open our heart in the next 3 weeks and allow the Holy Spirit to begin speaking to us of where we need to start pulling some weeds. Elbow your neighbor and say, "pull some weeds." Some of y'all can start out front in the flower bed. I mean, we can put this to action, right? Some of y'all need to get out there and start pulling some weeds in the flower bed. Yeah, not me, someone else, right? That's exactly what we do. We point, "not me, Lord." Here's what I know. We want to reap a harvest. It ain't a financial harvest. I'm just talking about a harvest in general. It's going to cost you something. Any move of God is going to cost us something. Are we willing to pay the price? Some of you, it's going to cost your pride. Some of you, it's going to cost your inheritance. Some of you, it's going to cost your reputation. Some of you, it's going to cost some money. Some of you, it's going to cost some things in the world that are too loud in your life that you need to surrender to God today before you leave. You need to lay it down before you leave. You need to say, "Lord, I need your help. Holy Spirit, come. I need your help." This is, as I end today, everybody say, "all right, he's going to end." And then we have another message coming up in just a minute. Luke chapter 10, I love this. We preach it, we say it, we declare it over our lives, we declare it over this church. The elders say this, but this is where we can put down some rubber of what Jesus is telling us to do, the harvest. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, "there were his instructions to them, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Verse 3, now go. Come on, you say it with me. Now go. Now let's go. Let's start the doing of what Jesus told us to do. Do you know, number one, all of us are able and equipped to do what Jesus did? And number two, do you know that Jesus is sending out? It's not just recorded in Luke chapter 10 where he sends out his disciples and say, no, it's just for them. But you know, Jesus is still doing the sending today. Who is he sending? Us. Us. You carry this banner above your head that you're a Christian. Start being Christ-like. Can I say that again without yelling and scaring some of y'all? I'm just keeping you awake. You carry this banner. Say, I am going to be a Christian. Well, then start being Christ-like. Don't be religion-like. Don't be expectation-like. Be Jesus-like. I prepared it. I don't have time. We got all kinds of stuff. Next week going to be exciting. But just as an exercise, the next few days, why don't you start flipping through the Gospels? Start in here with Matthew or Luke, where we're leaving off today. And you start flipping through and start reading what is right before Jesus ministering. And you'll find some interesting things about the way Jesus did ministry compared to the way we do ministry now. You'll find that it had nothing to do with a Sunday morning gathering. You'll find it had nothing to do with the temperature being just set right. You'll find it had nothing to do with a microphone or did they sing the right songs or not. It has nothing to do with all that. What we'll find in the scriptures is as Jesus was going, as Jesus entered a city, as Jesus surveyed. And what I love is this is the ministry that we're all called to. It's not a microphone calling. It's an all of us calling that all of us can make a difference in our field this week. You say, well, I don't feel empowered. If you look back, I have a bro standing at the back. This side. Sorry, Nathan. We pray as an exercise this morning. I felt a prompting of the Holy Spirit to have everyone lay their hands out and pray one for another and say, Holy Spirit, give us everything we need for ministry this morning. And my intention was to empower a dude like Nathan. I said, come on, Nathan, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, lay your hands out. And I said all the beautiful words, didn't I, Nathan? Wasn't it perfect? I mean, I said everything perfect. And I lay my hands on him, and he's like, thank you. And I said, now, Nathan, you pray for me. And I'm holding my hands out. Nathan says, oh, man, don't get me all messed up again. You know what Nathan says? He said, Holy Spirit, give Tim everything he needs. And I felt the weight of God's presence come down on me. Of a simple thing. And here's the first thing Nathan says. I don't know if I said it all right, but I just prayed it. I said, bro, you said it perfect. Because this is what I believe, is that the Holy Spirit can give us all, everything we all need to make a difference as we leave today. It's not a microphone calling. It's an all of us calling. Why don't we stand as we close today? Let's stand. Lord, right now, we thank you for the harvest. And Lord, we feel overwhelmed at times. We feel outnumbered. We feel out-resourced. We feel outgunned. We feel overwhelmed by the weight of what you're calling us to do and giving us the ability to do. But right now, Lord, we pray to the Lord of the harvest. Lord, that you would encourage us, that you would inspire us, that you would speak to us to start doing and being what you are calling us to do and be. And Lord, I pray right now, why don't we do that just for fun? Hold your hands out and turn to the person next to you and say, will you pray for me? Come on, I know it's cheesy, but just hang with me. And pray that simple prayer right now. And say, in Jesus' name, we pray, Holy Spirit, empower all over this place with everything we need to be effective in the field that you've given us. Holy Spirit, equip. Holy Spirit, minister. Holy Spirit, lead. In Jesus' name.
Still in your hand, this is my comfort. Faithfulness, faithfulness.
never failed us, Lord. Never leave us, you never.